We've been and are continuing with the series on the world system. And, you know, awareness and recognition of our spiritual enemies is crucial. And so I feel like I'm a painter in some ways, as I want to have good coverage. And so we have to overlap sometimes and do second coats, you know, to make sure we have good coverage. But the, you know, the world system, when we think about it, it's a subtle enemy, because when you think about it, it's an environment. And so it's an influence. And we're in it. And so if we're here on earth, we're in it, but we're not out from it. And so, and as we touched on last week, we're to use it, but we're to use it to a purpose. We're not to use it to its full. And when we start to think about where we are at historically in time, you know, we happen to be alive at a time where we're in an age where Satan is the god, little g, of this age. And so he's the god of this age, and he's blinded the thoughts of unbelieving ones. This age is also referred to as the present evil age. And so this present evil age, there's things that are being peddled. There's corruption that's being promoted, undergirding things, this corruption. And we know that, you know, good doesn't come out from corruption. That seems pretty logical. It's a pretty simple concept. If you don't understand that concept, I would suggest you do a little work in the kitchen and try and produce something good from ingredients that are corrupt. It doesn't work out too well. And so it's a real simple concept. It's one, as Christians, we've got to learn right from the get-go when it comes to our sin nature, the flesh. We don't want the flesh to be a source of what we're doing. That shouldn't be the source of our activity, of our frame of mind, of our relationship with God. It doesn't work. So when we consider this world system, and we mentioned it's the present evil age, and there's corruption that's being spread. Well, this age is also referred to as the age of this world. Now, some of you may have hit those verses as soon as I made a reference, like the God of this age, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Is that right? 4:4, I think. the present evil age, which is going to be Galatians 1:4. The age of this world, you know, Ephesians 2:2. You know, there's much malignancy that's spread through this world system. And Satan is the ruler of it. And this world system, like a drum beat, it has a cadence. It has a cadence, and it speaks. And the world listens. The world listens, it hears and responds and marches to that drum beat. That would be 1 John 4:5. In that context, in 1 John, he's referring to false prophets there. I'm just going to go ahead and turn to 1 John 4:5. He says, they are out from the world. So I read it that way to emphasize that little ex preposition. Therefore, speak they out from the world. And the world hears them. The world hears them. The world, the unsaved that make up the world system, they respond to the cadence of that drumbeat. Now, you'll see in verse 6, an important verse for us, we are out from God. Then this next little verse is interesting. It says, he that knoweth God. And he uses a present active participle, just literally the one experientially knowing the God. And so I believe that that indicates he's talking about the spiritual Christian. The one that's experientially knowing God, John says, hears us. He hears us, and he includes himself, the apostles, the writers of Scripture. Hears us. And then he says, he that is not out from God hears us not. He's not hearing and responding. He's busy responding to the other drumbeat that's out from the world system as the source. And he says, by this know we, just experientially know, by the way, we, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And so I was thinking of a lot of, advertisements and slogans that I've heard over the years that kind of reflect the drumbeat that's coming from the world system. And I've mentioned this one in the past because from my childhood, I saw this on commercials, and it was go for the gusto. Unfortunately, the commercial was for beer, and the things they were showing, as I remember, they're going for the gusto, and they showed these guys doing, kind of risky, exciting things where if you follow their advice and drank their beer and went for the gusto, you're probably going to die. But that was the slogan, is, go for the gusto. another one that's common, carpe diem, seize the day, right? Seize the day. You see some of these things on bumper stickers. It's my life. Okay. Live for today. I mean, that's pretty common. Live for today. How about we even go over to our Beaverton headquarters and just do it, right? Just do it. Kind of the implication is you can do it. Whatever you set your mind to, you can do it. That's the world system message that, we're in this environment. We're constantly being bombarded for these things. Live for today. What did old Frank Sinatra say? I did it my way. I mean, that's common. And so, we even have a slogan for one of the branches of our armed forces. Be all you can be. the world system has something to peddle you. And it is peddling. It is peddling. There is a message that's coming from the world system. And so we want to be aware. We want to have some recognition of some of these things. Because what does Scripture say? What does Scripture say? Well, I'm just going to take you to a couple verses. Just some things I picked out. Scripture says. You're not going to get this from the world system drumbeat. So let's take a look at 1 Timothy 6:7. What does that have to say? 1 Timothy 6:7. I'm sure you're not going to see this slogan adopted by any corporation. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. I kind of like that slogan, but that's probably not going to work too well for the world system purposes, right? How about James 4:14? Let's go to James 4:14. And I'll just read it right out of context here. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow or tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanishes away. Well, that's not going to be. I don't know. They could probably use that and pivot off of it and say, live for today. How about 1 Corinthians 6:20? Let's do that. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Now this one would certainly shoot down a lot of people's slogan for their life. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God by your body and by your spirit, which are God's. And so that's for Christians, of course. But you are bought with a price. You're not your own. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, so the world system could probably take the first clause here and spin something, but this last clause is going to be, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I'll just pick a couple more. Let's go over to Romans 8:8. Romans 8:8. So then, they that are, or just are being in the flesh, and I would understand this as being in the sphere of authority of the flesh, cannot please God. Now that statement right there goes against so much that the world system stands for. It's unbelievable. Because the world system promotes just the opposite. That you have the ability within you to please God, to do what you want. And that if you do, you know, then God is going to bless you. Let's take a look over at 1 John 2:17. It's interesting that you have mention of the will of God here, because I think the will of God is a very important aspect that relates to the world system. The world system, in other words, opposes the will of God. And that should be no great revelation. You just have to look at who's the ruler of the world system, right? And so it's interesting here, as he says, in the world system, it's passing away. And so it's passing away. It's like a scene in a movie. It's just passing away. It's temporary. But he says, and the lust thereof, and the desires thereof. But he, this is a mild of verses, it just, but he, the one doing the will of God, abideth forever. Just this word abideth, it has the idea just to, it remains at ease, remains settled, and it's just not forever, but into the age, remains settled into the age. And so I think it's important for us to recognize not only the world system as a spiritual enemy, as a subtle influence, but we need to recognize its role and how it relates to our relationship to the persons of the Godhead and how it relates to the will of God. The world system is no friend of the Christian doing the will of God. And so the Christian can do the will of God. You can absolutely know the will of God, and you can be doing the will of God, not because of the world system, but in spite of the world system. And so that's something to keep in mind. And so let's go ahead and open with some prayer. I guess I should have opened a long time ago. I didn't realize that would take as long as it did. I should know better. But let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. We're thankful for your word and the opportunities that we've had to be in your word. We're grateful for this time before us and the opportunities we've had to share with one another. May your spirit use this time to your glory and our growth, and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And so when we talk about the Christian life, you know, a lot of the Christian life comes down to a battle for the mind. The mind becomes crucial to living the Christian life, to putting things in practice. And last week we mentioned, you know, we are temporary sojourners here on earth as Christians. As Dave crossed past Philippians 3:20 today, our citizenship is in the heavens. And so we're just temporary sojourners passing through here. And so last week we looked at a context in 1 Corinthians that makes mention of using the world system, but not abusing it, not using it to its full. And so I wanted to overlap a little bit there. We need better coverage. And so I want to go back there, and I just want to point out the context, make sure we have the context in mind in 1 Corinthians 7. And you'll recall from 1 Corinthians that we've got a lot of carnal believers here at Corinth. But the context in 1 Corinthians 7, it's looking at serving Christ, serving the risen and glorified one. And also, in here we have pleasing the Lord. But let's back up to verse 17, and we'll just see this context dealing with serving Christ. It says, but as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Now, it's interesting. You know, Paul comes back to this issue of circumcision in Galatians, but here you have it early on. And it says, let not him become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. And so in Galatians, and we might get there today, but you see that's kind of the issue of the day. That's like a beginning step for keeping law. Remember, law stimulates the flesh. And so in verse 19, he says, circumcision is nothing. And uncircumcision is nothing. And then he uses the strong adversative. He says, but rather the keeping of the commandments of God, another in the ellipsis, is something. Now, the keeping of the commandments here in this context has to do with serving Christ. And so you see that as we go down. He says, let every man abide in the same calling wherewith he was called. He says, are you being a slave? Care not for it. Don't make that the end-all thing. Don't have a lot of concern, anxiety about it. But he says, but rather, another strong adversative, if you mayest be made free, use it rather. And you're going to see, use it for serving the Lord. He says, for he that is called in the Lord, being a slave, is the Lord's freeman. And in other words, there's no hindrance to that position in life to serving the Lord. Likewise, also, he that is called being free is Christ's slave. In other words, don't get too caught up on the physical and the appearance of things. Both Christians in this matter have the same potential to be useful and of service to the Lord, the risen and glorified one. And it comes back to, you are bought with a price. Now, this is a different verse. We looked at earlier, he had said that in 6:20. We read that earlier. He says, be not ye the bond slaves of men. And so the context, the idea, the ellipsis of the idea is to be a bond slave of the risen and glorified one, the Lord. And so you have that context in here, the context of serving Christ. And then we also see the concept of pleasing the Lord. So let me just touch on that in verse 32. But I would have you without carefulness, just care, concern. He that is unmarried cares for the things of that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married cares for the things that are of the world, that he may please his wife. Now, he's not saying there's anything wrong with being married. He's not saying that if you're married, you can't please the Lord. What he's saying is there is a potential that relationships can potentially be a hindrance to serving the Lord or doing what is pleasing to the Lord, because there's a little bit of a balancing act. And so we got to be careful. You got to be aware of that, is you don't want to put anything in between you and your relationship to the Lord, not even another relationship. And so now I want to just come back because things can potentially get in the way of that. And when I say that, the world system has a truckload of things that can get in the way of that relationship of serving the risen and glorified one, of doing that which is pleasing to the Lord. And so when we come, let's just go back to 1 Corinthians 7:31, and he says, "And they that use the world." And that's a good translation to use. And so they that use the world, is this that they're using to make use of, they're employing, kind of the idea here. Not as abusing it. The King James says is abusing it, and we talked about this last week. That word is a compound word of the same word that's translated to use, which means just to not use it to its full. And so the idea is that the Christian is to use the world system, and we've already separated it. We're separated from it in Christ. We can't get away from it while we're here on earth. So we're in a position where we're going to be involved in employing it sometimes. But we're not to be using it to its full. In other words, and so the context, and by the context, the idea of full carries the idea of anything that would get in between you and your relationship to serving Christ and pleasing the Lord would be using it to its full. That's kind of the idea. Now, next week I'm going to do something that's somewhat unorthodox, in that I'm going to be a little more of an exhorter possibly next week, because what I want to do is I want to look at the different aspects of the world system. Commerce, human government, entertainment. And I'm just going to offer some illustrations of what using to the full might look like in those different venues. And so it's going to be a little different, but I think part of overlapping, just to give some illustrations, because the world system can be subtle. And a lot of things, like I said, these things can be anything. Anything can come in between you and your relationship to the Lord. And so it could be something as super small. It could be something super big. Doesn't matter. If it's hindering the Christian and his serving Christ and him doing what's pleasing to the Lord, it's a problem in present tense. Salvation. And so we've talked about the world system, and you know, it has standards for you to follow. It has its own wisdom. Its own wisdom. In other words, it has a knowledge base to tell you how to respond in certain situations. And it wants to supersede what God has for the Christian. The world system would tell you, yeah, but you need this specialty in this area. And so you can set aside your Christian life when you get into this area of the world system. You know, grace doesn't work like that. We can order every aspect of our life on the basis of grace. Of grace. And so when we look at the things that are in the world system, we need to be reminded that the things that are in the world system, they're not out from the Father as to source. The Father's not the source of them. That's what John says in 1 John 2:16. Let's go ahead and take a look at 1 John 2:16. He says, for all that is in the world. He says, the lust of the flesh. The world system is set up to appeal to certain works of the flesh. The world system is set up to encourage you to walk by the flesh. It's not going to encourage you to walk by the Spirit. And the world system is going to give you standards that's going to encourage you to walk by the flesh. And remember, the world system has this drumbeat, which says, this is how you do it. And sometimes it may be okay to do it. Sometimes we need to do it. But we always need to ask ourselves, is it in conflict with how God would have us to do it? That's really where the rubber meets the road. That's where it starts to go from passing from using to crossing that fine line to abusing or to using it to its full. Coming back, so you have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. The desire, the strong desire of the eyes. The world system is geared to direct your mind and your focus on what you can physically see. You know, one of the beauties of rapture truth is it gets you seeing things from a different perspective. And you're looking out and you're looking into the future. You're tapping into hope that's based on a promise from God. And it's not if, it's just a matter of when. Well, the world system wants you to not use the eyes of your heart. The world system wants you to use your physical eyes. And I could take something fairly small. If this were a picture, or you know, this is a picture, and I'm holding it out here, well, I can see it, but I have other things in my view, and I can see beyond it. Well, the world system wants to get this so you have a limited focus. That when you hold this thing close to your face, your view is going to be limited on just what you are is physically in front of you. Well, that's the world system. It wants you to focus on what you can see, what you can touch. Let's go back to verse 16. It says, so the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Just kind of the idea of this empty boasting concerning physical life. Now remember, we've already said the world system has something to peddle. This is the present evil age. And this empty boasting concerning physical life. The world system is geared to you to focus on the physical. I mean, there's so many areas we could delve into here when we're talking about physical life. You know, the common saying is, if you haven't got health, you don't have anything, right? And so we can focus on, and the world system is focused on health to the hilt. And we can spend enormous amounts of money and time on supplements and diets and doctors and treatments. And we can nourish these bodies and try and take care of them. And in the end, Well, the Lord holds the key. And so we shouldn't get too caught up with this empty boasting concerning physical life. From our perspective, hey, we've got some tents. These tents are these bodies of humility, they're just temporary tents. Now, you don't know how long you're going to be in the tent. So just like your tent that you take camping every year, you don't know if you're going to be using it next year, but if you might, you know, you're thinking you might use it next year, you probably are going to take care of the tent so you can still use it as long as you're going to go camping. Well, it's kind of the same thing with these physical bodies. But the world system wants you to limit your view on the things concerning physical life. And so it's not emphasizing the spiritual life. The world system isn't going to help you with appreciating the cross work. That's going to tie to spiritual life and present tense salvation. And so when you start looking at some of these things, we can see that the world system, it's set up for you to befriend it. And so the world system says, look what you can have. Look at what this system can provide you. Look at what you can do. But remember, friendship with the world system is hostility against God. Because it's, and so when you look at that from the Christian's perspective, God has something different for us. He's got something better for us. So when the world system tricks us into thinking it has our best interest in mind at the expense of what God has for us, it's a problem. Now, I will say this for the spiritual Christian. The spiritual Christian is already walking contrary to the world system. Now, how do I know this? Why can I say this? Well, because for a Christian to be spiritual, he has to be filled by the Spirit. You have to be pertaining to and having the characteristics from the Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit busy filling people that are walking by the flesh? No. The flesh is an obstacle that has to be overcome to be spirit-filled. And you can't do it in your own strength. So this is where resurrection life fits in. Resurrection life, putting position into practice. Position into practice. Not only did we die with Christ, but we've been raised with Christ. We've been co-seated with Christ. So we can live resurrection life in our position in Christ. Because God the Father counts us to be there. And in living resurrection life, guess what? We're free from serving the sin nature or the flesh. So then we're also free from living by law. We're living by law. And so the spiritual Christian is already walking contrary to the world system. He's already going against the grain. Now, it's interesting for the spiritual Christian because he can misdirect agape love. And so this is kind of where I wanted to, and I don't know how this works or how this will work, but I was thinking about the spiritual enemies in relationship to the three persons of the Godhead and the world system in particular. And so for the carnal Christian, so we're talking about the Christian that's pertaining to and having the characteristics of the flesh. Well, the problem is the flesh. Let's make sure we state that. But the world system comes in to give a helping hand and wants to keep the carnal Christian from using his position in Christ. Wants to keep you marching by the flesh. And so it's interesting when you think about the world system in relationship to the carnal Christian. The world system is providing an obstacle or a hindrance. It's kind of coming alongside the flesh and kind of hitting you at your relationship between the Holy Spirit and the Lord, the second person of the Godhead. It's keeping you, it wants to keep you from moving into that realm of relating to the Holy Spirit so you can live free from the flesh and you can then be living in your position in Christ. So I want you to think about the Christ for a minute. The Christ. And so we're talking about the Christ. We're talking about the head and the body. Well, where is the Christ right now? Right. So there and here, right? So according to the scripture, we're counted to be co-seated with Christ. So on one hand, we have the head and we have part of the body sitting at the right hand of God. So where is the Father? Well, then he would be on the left, right? Now we do have some members of the body that are here on earth, right? And where is the Holy Spirit? He's here on earth in the hearts of believers. And so we have part of the body of Christ here on earth. We have the Holy Spirit here on earth. When we're talking about the Christ, we have some members here on earth, but we also have some members that are in the presence of the Lord, and we have the head of the body in the third heaven. And then we have the Father, who would be on the left of the Son, or of the Christ. Now, the world system works in conjunction to keep the carnal Christian operating, it encourages it, the carnal Christian to keep operating in the works of the flesh. And so the world system then in relationship to the carnal Christian attempts to diminish the believer's relationship to the Holy Spirit in their position in Christ. Now, for the spiritual Christian, he's already had to put position into practice to a certain degree so that he can be overcoming the flesh and living resurrection life in his position in Christ. And so now the world system for the spiritual Christian, it's not aimed so much at the relationship with the Holy Spirit and the Son, but for the spiritual Christian, the world system takes aim at the relationship with the Father, which is interesting, with the Father. And so why do I say that? Well, in 1 John 2:15, he says, "Stop loving the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man is loving the world, loves the world, the love concerning the Father is not in him." So in other words, you can't be loving the world and the things in the world of which the Father is not the source of and be loving the Father at the same time. And so it's an interesting thing. And so I know it's a little different. I just wanted to put this in a little different way, just to get you thinking about this. I think recognition and awareness is good. And as a spiritual Christian, then, is the world system, when it entices us to misdirect our agape love, it's ultimately affecting, and you could take it down, it affects our relationship with all three persons of the Godhead, but by scripture, it's kind of taking aim on our relationship with the Father. And it's our relationship with the Father, that's where we get our new nature. And it's that new nature is how eternal life, the life of Christ, can be lived out through activity, is through that, through God's nature. And when everything is working right, when we're in line, in step with the will of God, theoretically, we would be doing what God the Father would do. But when we are living out life through His nature, we would be doing what was ultimately natural to the Father, or what He would do to a certain degree. And the world system for the spiritual Christian interrupts that when we misdirect agape love. Now, I'm sorry if I wasn't able to articulate that as cleanly as I would like to, but I wanted you to think about some of these things in reference to the persons of the Godhead, to your position in Christ, and to where these influences come in. Because that's going to bring me to this next concept of grace and law. Grace and law. And so, living by grace, or ordering the aspects of one's life by grace, it's a life of cooperating with God. You cooperate with God. And so it's not a life of what you can or will do for God. It's not a life of earning favor with God. See, that's not grace. It's a life based upon what God has done for us and what He can do through us and with us if we allow Him, if we cooperate with Him. Now, living by law or any quality of law, it really boils down to what you can do or what you cannot do. And one of the things we know from Scripture is law stimulates the flesh. There's no way around it. Law stimulates the flesh. And so when you're living by the flesh, you're living by law principles, you're trying to earn something. You're trying to do something. You're trying to earn. It's a works principle. Law is a works principle. It's a work reward system, a law principle. And so law and grace don't mix. That's the bottom line, is law and grace don't mix. And so ultimately, trying to mix law and grace, which, by the way, we have a good example of that in Galatians, it leads to independence. It leads to not cooperating with God. And so let's just Let me go to the book of Galatians and just point out a few things here. And so in the book of Galatians, Paul was a little frustrated, you might say, or he's astonished because they're leaving behind the good news that the believer has, that they can order all aspects of one's life by grace. And so you see this in Galatians 1:6 through 9. He says, I marvel, just I'm astonished, I'm amazed that you are so soon removed. Transferring from him that called you by the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And this would just be a different gospel. He says, which is not another of the same kind. Soon as you tried to mix, in other words, law and grace, you lose grace. So it's not, this is a different gospel. This isn't another gospel of the same kind. He says that, but there are some that are troubling you and are wishing or desiring to pervert the gospel concerning the Christ. And I would go ahead and understand this as the Christ, the full title, the articular use of the Christ, the good news concerning the Christ, the believer being part of the new creation and as a result part of the body of Christ with Christ as the head. They were twisting that. They were changing it to something opposite. And so Paul's got some strong words to say here. But just keep in mind when we're talking about the good news concerning the Christ for the Christian, you're part of a new creation. You're raised with Christ. You're seated at the right hand. Part of the new creation, you can be free from serving the flesh. And by the way, you're also free from law principle, to order your life. And so he says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, than, or just this word beside, that which we have preached unto you. So, you know, bring this alongside, you know, go ahead and add this in. You know, a little law never hurt anything. Well, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. He says, let him be accursed. Kind of the idea, let him be cut off from benefits. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed, cut off from benefits. He wants to make that pretty clear, I would say. And now let's see in verse 10, he says, for I neither received it from man, from alongside man, neither was I taught it, but through a revelation, and I would translate it from Jesus Christ. And so this good news for present tense living concerning grace, the grace of Christ, that we can, the Christian can order every aspect of his life by grace, Paul received directly by revelation from Jesus Christ. Now, we can see some results of what this different gospel did in their present tense salvation. And so in Galatians chapter 3, let's just take a quick look here. He says in 3:2, this only would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, out from the works of law or out from the hearing of or from faith. I think they probably could get that one right. Now he follows up with the question in verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, and I'll just add my own a little ellipsis here, by grace. Are you now made mature by the flesh? That's what had happened. As soon as they started mixing law with grace, remember, law stimulates the flesh. I'm running out of time, or I would follow that up with a side trail. And now remember, the law matured nothing. Hebrews 7:19. But they lost grace as soon as they tried to mix legal principles with grace principles for living. And so then as soon as you do that, they were going to be stuck with trying to mature by the flesh. And the law matured nothing. You can't mature by the flesh. And so the world system, we know, offers standards and pathways and encouragement to live by the flesh. And by the way, the world system is not repelled or repulsed by a Christian, a carnal Christian, who's living by the flesh. The world system's not going to have any problem with that, because that's how the unsaved live. They can relate to that. And so let's go to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 12. And of course, we've looked at this. It says, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh or by the flesh, make a fair show, kind of the idea to look well, to look well or look good. And I like to translate it by the flesh. And so in other words, these would be those that are living by a law principle, and the flesh is stimulated. And he says that they compel you to be circumcised. Oh, interesting. Remember, we saw this mention of circumcision back in 1 Corinthians in chapter 7. They compel you to be circumcised. In other words, to live by a law principle. Only so they should not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. So the world system and the unsaved that make up the system, they have no problem whatsoever with a carnal Christian trying to live by the flesh, because that's what they're doing. And so there's no problem there. And so it says, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, keep any quality of law. Remember, the law doesn't earn you favor with God. The law keeps track of where you fall short. And so some may be keeping law better than others, but that's only relationship to other people. And so here he says, for neither they themselves which are circumcised keep law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. Boasting in the flesh. Now we're tapping right into the world system. The empty boast concerning physical life. Now he says in verse 14, he says, may it never be that I boast. By context, what Paul's talking about is in the flesh, in his own abilities. Except, so now he's going to allow for some boasting. He says, except in the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. And then he explains in verse 15, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. In Christ, they're nothing. It's just a standard that's not for Christians, and so it's nothing in Christ. And he says, but a new creation. A new creation is something. A new creation is of strength. It's the new creation where we can live free from serving the flesh. It's the new creation where we have the potential not only to live free from serving the flesh, but where we can serve Christ, where we can love one another. And so this is why, let's go back to Galatians 2:4, and then we're just going to tie it up right here, and we're going to leave the rest of this for next time. So in Galatians 2:4, so you see we have some freedom from Christ, or in Christ, from Christ and in Christ. In Galatians 2:4, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily or secretly to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Now, in the context here, and I'm not going to expand on this, but this liberty has to do with freedom from living by law principles. And so you see over in Galatians 5:1, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. Stand fast. It says, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You want to show what you can and can't do? Well, the fallen human nature is not suitable to be yoked to a law principle. It's going to show where it fails. It's going to show where it lacks. So and then when we go over to Galatians 5:13, Paul says, for brethren, you have been called unto freedom. Only use not freedom for an opportunity to the flesh. And so don't let this freedom, in other words, be used for an opening for the flesh, to live by the flesh, to think you can manage the flesh. But use this freedom, he says, but rather through love, serve one another. Through love, through agape love. Something we can only do because we're part of the new creation. Something we can only do because we have the potential to live resurrection life where we're actually living above the flesh and the sin nature. And so use that freedom from law, that freedom from serving the sin nature. He says use it rather through love to serve one another. And when we do that, now we are manifesting that new nature accurately. And so we're going to go ahead and cut off here. I guess I would just end up and say the world system, it offers alternatives to using or living in one's position in Christ. And the world has a problem with you using your position in Christ, because that's where you manifest that you're a child of God. And so when we do that, when we're living by the provisions of grace, we're marching to a different drumbeat. We are out of sync with the drumbeat of the world system and how the world system has the unsaved marching. But that's okay. This is what God has planned and what he's allowed. Of course, Father, thank you for this day. We're thankful for the privileges that are ours in Christ. And We're thankful that as we relate to these truths, that we can see that we have a potential because of what you've provided through the Son and his work. And we just pray that we would continue to learn how to apply and employ these things. And we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen.